You've got your Bibles, let's turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 4. I'm going to read there. Obviously, as I said, we're heading towards Easter and we've got some really exciting things happening. Next week, next Saturday, if you're a family and you want an opportunity to come together and worship together in terms of a family context, then we're launching this brand new forum for that next Saturday, and you can get more details from David or Rob in relation to that. We've also, as we move into Holy Week, we're going to have a week of prayer, and we're teaming up, I believe, with Try Praying, and setting up the church for just a time of prayer to come and seek God and find time for reflection and thought during the whole of Holy Week. So that will be on a lead up to Easter this year. Again, just a great opportunity to prepare yourself as we move towards the excitement of the Easter weekend. This morning we finished the Daniel plan, and I don't know how some people feel. I've had pretty good feedback on it, but I'm sure there are a few who are quite glad we're coming to the end of it. And I promise we will be returning to John's Gospel. And this morning I want to consider the last area, which is this whole area of friendship. And exploring the importance of community in trying to achieve anything. And the importance of working together. And how that has to work. There's actually, I mean, we could do a whole series on this, how community has to work. What has to be the various roles within community and how that has to function. Otherwise, you have the breakdown of community. But essentially, the message is, we're better together. I heard in fact, it wasn't a story, I had an encounter. Came from America, not mine. I heard a story of a very respected business tycoon, one of the most successful of the last few decades. And his son was sharing, and he himself was a fairly successful businessman. And he was talking about his father and his business. And his father had been recognized, he'd been knighted and all sorts of things. And he was talking about his father as he got into his late 60s. And he said, you know, my dad outwardly is one of the most successful men in the terms of Britain and commerce and highly respected. And yet I don't think he could number on his hands any single friend. And he had looked at his father's life, and he himself was reflecting, I don't want to be in that situation. And the passage in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, if you look at it, we often race to the two are better than one. But it actually starts, there was a man all alone. He had neither son nor brother. There was no end to his toil, yet his eyes were not content with his wealth. And actually, it's talking about the context of this idea of loneliness is in terms of affluence and materialism and lifestyle. And one of the things that I'm acutely aware of is the changing nature of our culture, and the changing nature of a culture which is so affluent and so wealthy. And I know you might not feel affluent and wealthy, but you are. And the way in which community is breaking down, and the way in which loneliness is becoming endemic. There are all sorts of studies out there now in terms of what loneliness does to your health. And it's really bad for you. It's as bad as eating lots of chips. And it has impacts on your life expectancy, on your psychology, on your health. It's phenomenal, the impact that isolation has. Human beings are not designed to be alone. And yet, so much of what we're having in our culture is sort of forcing us towards that isolationism. More than 50%, I believe, of adults are going to be living in one-person households within the next decade. Something like 53% of individuals. Again, a reflection of what's happening. But it's also happening in terms of the church. There's a breakdown of community in our churches. And I actually think the breakdown of community is the single greatest threat that exists to Christianity in a 21st century context. Because if you look at Christianity in its sort of most basic form, it is essentially a group of people coming around the Word of God and engaging with that and working that out in their lives. And if you have either both those elements being under attack or those elements being weakened, then you will discover that the church and Christianity will be weak, because community is essential. And so we're at this critical point. And so this message, in a sense, is maybe as important, if not more important, than all of the other ones that we've been looking at thus far. Because we are called to work together. In Romans, it tells us, since we are all one body in Christ, we belong to each other, and each of us needs all the others. I'm going to race through these points because we haven't got much time, but there are five reasons that you need to be part of either a small group or a community. Can I say that community and relationships just don't happen? They actually take work. One of the things that we do in our lives is that, and I mean, I'm culpable of this as well, when we don't feel we need others in our lives, we don't put any energy into building relationships. And then suddenly, we have a need in our life where we feel like we need some support, and it's not there. And we think it's their fault. But actually, it's because we haven't put any effort into building relationships. Actually, building community. And then we expect it to be on tap when we need it. And so many of us are just driven by a sense of, well, when I feel I need people, then I'll do something about it. But because I don't feel I need people, I don't build community. But community has to be something that you deliberately and intentionally set out to build. I was seeing a friend yesterday, and we hadn't met up for ages. And we just got together, and we were like, where have the months gone? What's happened? And it required us to sit down and say, we are deliberately going to set patterns and dates and meet up and do stuff together. It takes intentionality. And that's somebody I get on really well with and really like hanging out with. When you begin to get into other communities where the dynamics are not always so easy, you have to have even more intentionality. Loneliness is not good. So I need others to walk with me. In Ephesians, we read, as each part does its work, Ephesians 4, as each part does its work, it helps the other parts to grow. So Christ's whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. We have this vision of the body of Christ working together. We're then told in Hebrews, let us not give up the habit of meeting together. Instead, let us encourage one another. The important factor in terms of community in providing encouragement. Again, there are, and I know some, there are some folks out there that are wonderfully steel-willed and manage to do amazing things by themselves. But most of us, lesser mortals, need community and encouragement and others around us to do stuff. And if we don't have that sense of community and encouragement and affirmation around us, we just get demotivated and we never do anything. There's a theology behind these ideas that we see in Genesis, which is expressed in the words of God in Genesis chapter 2, where he says, it is not good for man to be alone. We're having a chat. A number of our wives are away on a spiritual retreat up north, so they would have us believe. And so some of the deserted husbands, we were meeting together and just having a chat, and we were talking about what's it like to be at home by yourself, and whether we like it or not. Differing views. Anyway, but the idea in Genesis chapter 2 here is this concept of loneliness. You're not designed for loneliness, and God does not intend it for us. You see, community is God's answer to loneliness. And so we're told in 1 Peter chapter 4 that we should open our homes to each other without complaining. It's interesting if you read some of the commands. There are commands in Scripture. There's a whole series of them. We haven't got time to look at them, which are basically saying, work at building community. Invite people round. Make space to meet with individuals, to pray with individuals, to interact with individuals. And this isn't something that happens naturally. It's something that you have to be intentional about. And so the first question is, in a 21st century context, how intentional are we in terms of building community? One of the things that amazes me, and again, you can tell my wife's away, I was out on Friday night, and the I was with some friends. We were sitting in a restaurant, and as I looked around, it was a younger demographic, I have to say. And as I looked around, there was a number of people who were not interacting, but all engaging with their phones. It was phenomenal. I mean, there was not a single individual. You wonder, what is going on here? So simple things like, let's switch off the phones and talk or interact when we go out. Simple things like that. But that requires intentionality. Because if we're not intentional, then community doesn't happen. Secondly, I need others to work with me. We see very clearly in Ecclesiastes, this passage, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. Community is God's answer to fatigue. Despite the best will in the world, and no matter how high energy you are and how much you are positive and you have a positive mental attitude, all of us get tired. All of us find it tough. All of us have bad days. All of us just kind of have those points where you just go, I don't know why I'm bothering with this. You know, it's just too much work and too much effort, all of us. And if, you don't have others around you, then that sets the agenda. Whereas if there are others around you, they're able to come alongside you and say, it's not that bad. Or it is that bad, but we're here with you, so let's get through it together. We're told in the letter of Galatians, every time we get the chance, let us work for the benefit of all, starting with the people closest to us in the community of faith. Let's work together and have this kind of consciousness. One of the challenges that exists here is how often do we set out intentionally to think, how can I encourage the people around me? How can I encourage the people in the small group? How can I encourage those that I work with? How can I encourage Stephen a few months back? Stephen Morgan provided me with some studies, sort of thing that you probably knew, but it was interesting to see it in stats, about the single greatest motivational factor that you can provide for anybody in terms of their life is thankfulness. You want to get somebody to do something for you? Just throw some appreciation towards them. Say, we're really thankful. And I really appreciate what you do. Thank you for doing that. One of the things that I've tried to do now in terms of emails is just always end them with thanks. Just put thanks at the end of emails. Notice this if you get them from me. Just put thanks. And text, thanks. Because it's something that motivates us when we face that fatigue. Thirdly, I need others to watch out for me. We're told in Philippians, look out for one another. It's an interest, not just for your own. We're told in Ecclesiastes again, if one person falls, another can reach out and help. But people who are wrong when they fall are in real trouble. And then we're told again in Ecclesiastes, a person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. They are even better, for triple braided cord is not easily broken. Community is God's answer to defeat. You see, when we're in community, we're in a situation where we actually can take on things that we could not otherwise take on. One of the reasons I fundamentally believe that biblically, New Testament, in fact, Old Testament or New Testament, leadership is always pluralistic. It always involves more than one individual and has to be shared, is that not only do you get more work done, but actually, if you are alone in terms of leadership, you will be wiped out. Because the stuff that will get thrown against you is such that if there aren't other people there standing with you, some of you know I love Roman history, and the Romans had a thing called the tortoise, and it was where the unit would bind their shields together. People would protect their heads with the shields, and they would surround themselves with the shields, and they would move like a tortoise. And they were very hard to stop when they were like that. You see, if you don't have others around you in situations, then you will find yourself in situations of defeat. Whereas if there are others with you, then you will become overcomers, and you will face these things. Fourthly, I need others to wait and weep with me. we're told, be happy with those who are happy, weep with those who weep. Jesus explains this. If one member suffers, all suffers. Again, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And then in 1 Peter, you should be like one big family, full of sympathy towards each other. See, community is God's answer to despair. The fact is that all of us at some point are going to need others. And you may not at this moment in time. Maybe everything in your life is great and you feel like, you know, it's Mum's Day. There are different attitudes towards Mother's Day. It's interesting watching my children and how they go about it and things. And there's the attitude that it's brilliant to have for Mum. It's great. We arrived 3 days with vast flowers and everything, and it's going to be the best day ever. And it's like, oh, it's Mum's Day. I better do something. Oh, I better make sure I've got that bulk text. That sort of attitude. The reality is maybe you're in that place with other relationships. But you know something? Something comes along in your life, and often you then suddenly feel like with your mother, suddenly, oh, I need something. I need some support here. I need something else. And for a lot of us, it's important that we recognize that there will be times where that occurs. And we need to be building relationships so that when that does occur, we're not enveloped with despair. Lastly, I need others to witness with me. John says, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Paul again says in Philippians, you are working together and struggling side by side to get others to believe the good news. And then lastly, we see in 1 John, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. You see, when people come together in community, it witnesses to something. There is a reality. Number one reason that people leave the church is a breakdown in community. Number one reason. Breakdown in relationships. I hear it over and over again. There is some form of breakdown in terms of community, breakdown in terms of relationship. That's why they leave. Whereas number one reason people tend to come to church, or certainly stay in church, they may come to church for various reasons. Some people like the music, some people like the sermons. But there's actually generally only one reason why people stay in churches. And John Wimber used to say this, and he said there's one reason, and that is people make friends. If people don't make friends, they don't stay in churches. They don't stay in small groups. Making friends is actually what brings people into becoming part of the community. The success of Alpha is not necessarily the material, though it's great material. The success of Alpha is it puts people into groups and they make friends. And if those friendship bonds are built up, it often brings people into the community of faith. You see, what happens in community witnesses to the wider world. What happens in community is reflective of what God is doing. And if what is happening in community is not appropriate, then actually it alienates people. Just think about it. Think about the churches that you've been part of. I was at a lecture a couple of weeks ago, or maybe just last week, and it was on a movement of the Exclusive Brethren in the northeast of Scotland called the Taylorites. And I know there's some in our church who were impacted and still impacted by that movement and what happened. But there was just a series of things that reflected impropriety in the conduct that went on within that movement. And the witness and the impact that that had, certainly on the Northeast, was it brought the Christian community into disrepute. And so the way that the community conducts itself is really important in terms of our witness and in terms of what people see. You see, God's answer to fear is community. And oftentimes, what holds us back from community, what holds us back from our witness, is this area of fear. And yet, when we have fear within the community of God's people, it builds a witness that speaks to others. we see the defeat of fear, and people are attracted to that. So we're told in 1 Timothy chapter 1, the Holy Spirit doesn't want you to be afraid of people, but to be wise and strong, to love them and enjoy being with them. If we're going to be effective as God's people, we need to build community. We need to build community because it's God's antidote to loneliness. It's God's antidote to fear. It's God's antidote to despair. It's God's antidote to being overwhelmed. And it's God's antidote to being in a place of fear and the failure to witness as God's people. I would encourage you, community doesn't just happen. So be deliberate. Think about ways that you can build community. Think about what you need to do. And I encourage you to get into small groups. And I know sometimes it isn't easy always being part of small groups. But if you aren't in small groups or a prayer cell where you can choose who you want to be with, then get into something like that. Think about how you build community and are part of community. Think about how you encourage others around you. How do you affirm them? How do you build them up? How are we thankful so that we generate motivation within the community of God's people? How do we build an effective community that witnesses to the reality of the cross of Jesus as we move towards Easter? As I said, perhaps this is the most important element of the Daniel plan, is that we are called to community. And without effective community, our health, our spiritual well-being, our psychological well-being, and our witness will be severely damaged. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the challenge of the Daniel plan. Lord, we thank you for the different things that we've been thinking about. And Lord, I just pray that as we consider whole life discipleship, as we consider what following you means for the foods that we eat, for our fitness, for the things that we focus on, for the way that we exercise our faith. Lord, I just pray that you would help us consider what it means in terms of community. Lord, I pray that you would make us intentional in terms of the way that we build and sustain community around us. I pray that you would make us strong, and that we would truly reflect that love that Christ calls us to. I ask this in your name. Amen.